Hey, folks. This is Jesse Cope, back with another episode of the American Soul Podcast. Hope y'all are doing well, wherever y'all are, and whatever part of your day that you're in, sure to appreciate you joining me, giving me a little bit of your day. Hope it gives you some encouragement. Hope it helps our country just a little bit. Hopefully it helps us a little bit. For those of y'all that continue to share the podcast and tell others about it, thank you so much. I'm very grateful. Y'all help the podcast to grow. For those of y'all that have been joining us on the little Bible readings. We've been in Proverbs for a while now. Thank you. Incredibly grateful that y'all listen to those. I hope it's an easy way or a smooth way, a simple way for y'all to get a little bit of the Bible in each day. Homestead is rocking and rolling right now. The tiller is being used on almost a daily basis in different parts of the garden. And so far, none of the trees that we have planted that I'm aware of have died, which is always good because they weren't cheap. I'm sure there's a better way to do this, but somebody's going to have to explain it to me someday. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for you, Father, and your Son, Jesus Christ, and your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the time to record this podcast, the people that listen to it, share it, be with them and their families, guide them and bless them. Strengthen our faith, Father. Help us to strengthen those around us. Help us to do your will above all else. Guide our steps, guide our nation. Help our leaders to turn back to you, be with our military and our law enforcement. Be with the leaders in both of those institutions. Forgive us our sins, Father. Forgive us our pride and our arrogance. Forgive us when we go our own way. Help us to humbly walk with you, to do justice, and to love mercy. And guide my words here today, Father, please. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Woodrow Wilson. This is out of a address he gave, The Bible in Progress, in Denver, Colorado. The Bible is the one supreme source of revelation of the meaning of life, the nature of God, and spiritual nature and needs of men. It is the only guide of life which really leads the spirit in the way of peace and salvation. America was born a Christian nation. America was born to exemplify that devotion to the elements of righteousness which are derived from the revelations of Holy Scripture. That's definitely one of the everyday quotes. If you remember many quotes, that's probably one of the easiest ones to remember about the truth that our nation was born a Christian nation, right? America was born a Christian nation. Woodrow Wilson. And for those, because I get some pushback on that quote from time to time online. And the pushback is, oh, Wilson was, I don't know, I get all sorts of stuff. Horrible man. Wilson was this. Wilson was that. Wilson was a socialist, etc. And it always kind of makes me, I don't know, smirk's not quite the right word. Chuckle a little, smile, kind of give a half smile. Because If Wilson was so bad, and he still understood that America was born a Christian nation, how condemning is that of people that say that America isn't today? How much worse does that make them even than him then? If he was so bad, such a bad man or a bad president, and he still understood that America was born a Christian nation, how condemning for those today who refuse to acknowledge that truth. Or those of us, really, how condemning for those of us that know the truth and don't follow it today and don't stand up for it. If people tell you, folks, that we were a secular, a nation built on secularism or deism or Roman paganism, they don't know what they're talking about. I'm wish that I was a better defender. I'm a simple man, and I'm not the most eloquent. And Lord knows I'm not the best debater. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't believe me, if you're new to the podcast, go back and listen to it. We've been doing this for almost 3 years. It'll be 3 years in May, and there's still new stuff. We're going to talk about some new stuff today that I've never talked about before on the podcast. Go back and look. We were born a Christian nation, and we can only function that way. That's the key, folks. The reason that we're struggling today across the board in our individual lives, our marriages, our families, our communities, our churches, our schools, our military, our states, our nation as a whole, our law enforcement, the reason that we're struggling across the board is because we've tried to kick God out and do this on our own. And the vanity of our own heart and arrogance. There's the pup, the newest one, is standing on the porch, and the trash cans are just not quite close enough for her to reach. And so she's leaning out over the porch trying to get to the trash can. And then she just went jumping away as I opened the door because she knows she's doing something she's not supposed to be doing. And she was trying to rip into one of those trash cans and start to pull the trash out. And now she's looking up at me through the door going, "What? It smells good." Just, folks, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter, husband or wife. Whichever spouse is more inclined to animals, don't ever let them go to the feed store or the pet store alone. I'm just throwing that out there. You'll regret it, I promise. It's not gender. It's not always. There's a lot of times, a lot of people would say it's gender specific, right? It's the women. I'm telling you right now, that's not true. I had a story actually from one of my wife's good friends recently. And her husband and their kids had been talking about getting chicks, and they didn't need chicks. I think they had just moved in or recently, and they were just trying to get everything squared away. And they were going to the feed store, and she told them, "Don't get chicks. Please don't come home with chicks. Please. I can't take care of them. I've got enough on my plate. We don't need chicks right now." And what did they do? They went to the feed store, and they sent back a picture of the girl, the youngest one, I think, holding a box of chicks. So I'm telling you, if your spouse is the one that has an inclination, be careful. Be careful. It's dangerous. So this is a little section out of the Founders Bible, right? Wall Builders Association, historian David Barton, general editors Brad Cummings, Lance Wubles. This is out of the book of Daniel. Little section is called The Father of All Science. It's a wonderful little section. I haven't even really dug into it completely. But it was enough that I thought, man, we need to talk about this. Because what do you hear so often today, which is hugely ironic from the left, is believe, trust the science. Believe in science. Trust the science. You can't trust the Bible because that's just a made-up book. And our founders didn't want anything to do with the Bible. They wanted to create a pagan, a secular republic like Rome. They were looking at the Enlightenment. They didn't look at the Bible. They didn't look at anybody that looked at the Bible, yada, yada, yada. The reason I say it's ironic, right, is because today, the very people that tell us to look at the science can't seem to figure out what a woman is. And if you've ever been in basic freshman biology, one of the very simple things that you learned, and you learn this really well when you're doing Punnett squares, is that if you're male, you have an X chromosome and a Y chromosome for your sex chromosomes. And if you're female, you have two X chromosomes. And this is in every single cell in your body, I think, if I remember correctly, with the exception of red blood cells, which lose their nucleus. And so every other cell in your body, every single cell, all of them, you have these two sex chromosomes. And except for, because I know somebody out there is going to say this, except for chromosome disorders, meaning something went wrong, that's the case. So you can have, for example, Turner syndrome, which I believe is just one X chromosome. So it's a female. It's still a female, but because of non-disjunction, which means that the chromosomes didn't split up the way they were supposed to, basically, in meiosis, you only have one X chromosome, right? There's another one where you have two X's and a Y, still a male, but you have an extra X chromosome, I think, and I can't remember the name of that. But the point is still that, except for those disorders, and even there, you're still male or female, folks. It's just that because the chromosomes didn't go through anaphase the right way, they didn't split up the right way, you got an extra chromosome or one too few. I think as a little interesting side note here, if I remember correctly, I think Turner syndrome may be the only, I don't know, I was going to say the only case of monosomy where the child survives, but don't hold me to that. I don't really remember anymore. The point is, the very people who claim to say that trust the science are ignoring the science. And so this little section in this book has some great quotes in it. Declaration signer John Witherspoon, we've talked about him before. It is certain, I think, that human science and religion have kept company together and greatly assisted each other's progress in the world. And what you're going to see as we go through some of these quotes, and I'm not going to go through all of them, and the commentary that they have in this little section is great. So if you get a chance, again, highly recommend Patriot's Bible by Dr. Richard Lee, The Founder's Bible, which is what we're talking about today, by the Wall Builder Association, and America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations by Federer. They ought to be primary textbooks in every classroom across the country, every public school classroom for sure. But one of the people that the left loves to hold up, right, as an example of deism, or maybe even atheism, really, rejection of Christianity for sure, and as a scientist himself, is who? Jefferson. And Jefferson noted, right, a quote from him, Bacon, Newton, and Locke are my trinity of the three greatest men the world had ever produced. And so you take a look at these, and this little insert goes through and kind of breaks them down. You look at Francis Bacon, who's considered the father of modern science. And historians, he's super, super smart guy, right? Unbelievably smart dude. And he made the comment that his goals, right? He wanted to discover the truth. He wanted to serve his country. And he wanted to serve the church. Okay, so the first one of these people that Jefferson says are the greatest men the world has ever produced, the first one of his top three goals is to serve the church. And when you look at discover truth, right, especially when you see it in light of Christianity, what does Jesus say? Jesus says, I am the truth. And so Bacon, one of the greatest intellects in the history of the world, says, that's my goal. I want to look for the truth. I want to look for Jesus Christ, and I want to serve the church. Newton, right? The second one that Jefferson listed. I mean, his laundry list of things that he did is too long for me to even begin to talk about here. I think the thing that most people know is the story of gravity and the apple, right, falling. So I'll leave it there. But there's a quote in here, and it's got a source where they pulled it from, which is wonderful about this Founders Bible. This is out of a book, or maybe a magazine. Charles Hummel is the author from 91. The faith behind the famous Isaac Newton out of Christian history. It's the great thing about this Founders Bible, folks, is you can go and actually look up the sources. Same thing with America's God and Country Encyclopedia of Quotations. Patriot's Bible is not quite as well sourced, in my opinion, at all, really, but it's much easier to get into. So that's kind of the one I recommend to start with if you're starting with one. But this quote is that Newton spent more time on theology than on science. He wrote about 1.3 million words on biblical subjects. That's a lot of words, folks. If you've ever tried, when I wrote my first kid's book, I remember learning that really well. You think you're writing a lot more than you are, and you get done and you look at how many words you've written and you go, man, I got a long way to go. So 1.3 million words on biblical subjects. His understanding of God came primarily from the Bible, which he studied for days and weeks at a time. And he did not consider theology to be sacred and science secular. Newton's theology profoundly influenced his scientific method. And so here's the second person that Jefferson holds up as one of the three greatest men the world has ever produced. And he relied heavily on the Bible. Said that was, it wasn't a separation between the secular, right, and faith, that they went together. And then the third one was Locke. We've talked about Locke on the podcast very briefly, once or twice, but not in any great detail, and we're not going to here today either. But some of the things that Locke wrote, these are just a few examples out of this little section in the Founders Bible. Locke wrote a verse-by-verse commentary on Paul's epistles, compiled a topical Bible, a commonplace book to the Holy Bible. So you could find the Bible verses or listed verses subject by subject. When people that were against religion attacked Christianity, he wrote the reasonableness of Christianity as delivered in the scriptures. Well, that was in 1695. And then a vindication of the reasonableness of Christianity, and then a second vindication, wrote in his two treatises of government, which Jefferson and other founders really leaned on when drafting the Declaration. He invoked the Bible 1,349 times in the first treatise and 157 times in the second. And so this quote, which we've read by Jefferson before, makes sense, right? The Christian religion is a religion of all others most friendly to liberty, science, and the freest expansion of the human mind. There's some great other quotes in here in this section. Thomas Paine. There's a list of scientists who are professing Christians. Benjamin Rush is quoted in here too. And then there's a great quote by Rabbi Daniel Lapin that we'll try and read on the next podcast, because it really is, it sums up a lot of what's going on today. So anyway, you get a chance, highly recommend this book. It's great, great Bible, great study. God bless y'all, your families, your marriages. God bless America. We'll talk to y'all again real soon.